Has somebody ever asked you to do something that you really didn't want to do? Maybe it was your boss or maybe a spouse, a child or somebody, and you really didn't want to do, you know, whatever it was that they asked you to do. How's your attitude when that happens? And furthermore, did you actually do what they asked you to do, or did you just kind of let it go right on by, or did you just emphatically say no? Well, last week we started a series talking about Jonah, and a lot of us know that story from the times of Vacation Bible School, or if we've been around anywhere in the world, we have heard the story of Jonah and the big fish that we often call a whale. Well, essentially in a nutshell, what happened was that God told Jonah to go to a place where he didn't want to go. And the story that we read in the Word of God talks about how the fact that he took off and went exactly in the opposite direction of the way that God was telling him to go. So as we go through part two of our series on Jonah, I ask you this question, and I want you to think about it as we go through our scriptures. Has God ever asked you to do something that you really didn't want to do? And when he did, what was your answer? Grab your Bible, come on back. We're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 2 here in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us this evening. If you have your Bible, I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Jonah chapter 2. Now again, this is a story that most of us are familiar with. We've heard many details are from the times of flannel graph in the old days where Jonah was swallowed by the big fish. And last week, you know, we discussed essentially his predicament out of chapter 1. Now, in chapter 2, we're going to look at Jonah's prayer. So let's go ahead and pick up our reading in Jonah chapter 2. And like I say, there are only a handful of verses, so we'll just go through that whole chapter. But Jonah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, reads like this. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly and said, 'I cried out to the Lord because my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice.'" Verse 3, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All of your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head.' Verse 6, "I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.' So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for your word. We're grateful and thankful for all that you are. And Lord, for this opportunity that you have given us to gather around your word, I pray that you will help us to learn lessons from Jonah as we endeavor a look at your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to us and teach us. And Father, for these few moments, I pray that, like always, you will use me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be lifted up and that you might draw all men unto you. So Lord, bless our time as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when we begin to look at this story, as we talked about last week, and even as we head in to this evening's Bible study, you know, one of the things about Jonah was that God called him to go to this place called Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah did not like the Ninevites whatsoever. I can imagine what it must have been like when he called Jonah and he said, "This is what I want you to do." Jonah was like, "Okay," and then went completely in the opposite direction. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something that you and I maybe have done in our past? But God wanted to save this place called Nineveh, and Jonah had this hatred for Nineveh and for its people. So there's a few things that we need to know about Nineveh that kind of help us out in our understanding about this city that God wanted to save. It was located on the east bank of the Tigris River, and it covered a large area. It was 60 miles around this particular city, and the population of Nineveh was around 600,000. Now, if you're around this area, the Oak Ridge area, you'll notice that one of the larger cities is Greensboro. You know, a lot of times people will say we're part of Greensboro, but technically we're in a little town of Oak Ridge. But Greensboro's population is about half of what Nineveh's was. So if you think about all the people that live in the city of Greensboro, that would only be half of the number of people that lived in Nineveh, because it had a population of 600,000. And as of the statistics of this year, Greensboro is like 299,000. So in other words, Greensboro is about half the size in population of what Nineveh was. So that's a lot of people, a lot of folks who need Jesus and need to hear about him. So God calls this man, Jonah, to deliver a message to them. Now, you know, Jonah was a prophet. According to Jesus, Jonah, you know, he flees. And it's so ironic that as you read through these particular chapters in the books of Jonah, you'll find that God had more trouble getting his servant willing than in bringing Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, to repentance. I mean, how much does God want to do? If God's calling us to do something, he's made some preparation along the way. There are things that he wants to accomplish, and they are going to be done in accordance with his will and in accordance with his word. Why is it that God has so much trouble getting his servants willing to be useful instruments in his hand than he does to accomplish the task that is at hand? I mean, God was preparing Nineveh for repentance, and yet here he is having trouble getting his servant, Jonah, to get on down there and start preaching to him. So what does he do? Down to Joppa, down into the ship, down into the sides of the ship. There's a storm that kicks up. You know, the sailors are in fear of their lives. They cast lots. Jonah tells them, hey, it's me. I'm the problem. He gets cast overboard, and it says that he gets swallowed up by this great fish that has been prepared. And for 3 days, he's riding around in this fish. Now, if you want to talk about a timeout, and you want to talk about giving you some moments to have some alone time with God, Jonah certainly did. So what he did was he prayed. And that's what we want to look at for our Bible study for this evening, is Jonah's prayer. You know, in verses 1 and 2, we see, notice what he says. It says, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay, we've got the picture of what's going on. So what happens then? That was the end of chapter 1. So chapter 2, Jonah prays to the Lord God from the fish's belly. So that's where the prayer was taking place, out of the fish's belly. That's a strange place to pray, don't you think? How many times have you been in some strange places and prayed? Not a place that you would choose, not the most comfortable place in the world. And sometimes what happens is God has to put us in a place that's very uncomfortable for us to get our attention. Not a place that you would pick. Jonah didn't pick, well, let's go down to the belly of a fish and begin our prayer time down there. But it was, that was where he was, and that was the place to pray. Wherever you are, that's your place to pray. If you're in the middle of circumstances and situations, that's your place to pray, because God knows exactly where you are. Let's go back to the scriptures. It says, then Jonah, this is verse 1, that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. So there's a couple of great lessons that we have here, two great lessons. First of all, one of the things that we need to understand is that God hears us from anywhere. No matter where you are, you cannot go too high, you cannot go too low, you cannot go too far left or right, you cannot be too right or too wrong to be in a place or a position where God cannot hear you. God hears us anywhere that we are, just as he heard Jonah from the belly of a fish. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that it is far better to pray in normal surroundings than to wait until we are in abnormal surroundings to be praying to our Lord. And I think most of us probably can understand that because you've been most likely in both of those situations. You've been in the belly of the whale and prayed from there, and then you have been in your normal circumstances and normal surroundings and prayed from there. It's a whole lot better and a whole lot easier to pray in your normal surroundings rather than abnormal surroundings. Now is the accepted time to pray. So we see what's going on with Jonah. Jonah, many people would say he was in a situation of desperation, and that was why he called out from the belly of the whale. It's like the old expression when it comes down to soldiers in war. It says there are not many atheists in foxholes. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, because you hear a lot of people praying even when they don't know God when it comes into a situation such as that. So Jonah finds himself with full attention. God's got his full attention. He's in the belly of the whale, and he begins to pray. So let's look for just a moment at why he prayed, okay? He said in verse 2, by reason of my affliction. This is the reason why. This is something that led him to pray. What was his affliction? His affliction was that he was in the belly of a whale. His affliction was the fact that he had not listened to what God had told him, or should I better say, he listened, but he just didn't follow those directions. God told him to get to Nineveh. He started going in the opposite direction. See, he hadn't been praying for some time. You know why? What was he doing? He was fleeing from God. He was trying to get away from God's call to him to go to Nineveh. He was neglecting his spiritual responsibilities. Remember what happened on the boat. He was sleeping during the storm. When the Lord was chastening him. And how many of us fit into those categories? You know, we're fleeing from God. We're neglecting our spiritual responsibilities. We're asleep in the storms of his chastening in our lives. And we're just acting like if we look the other way, it just won't catch up with me. Or if I don't pay attention to it, it's not going to become real. Folks, that does not work when it comes down to God Almighty. He is going to get your attention. So if you're in the middle of a situation and you're trying to avoid what it is that God wants, you're probably going to find yourself in the same place that Jonah found himself. Now, not necessarily in the belly of a great fish, but number one, fleeing from God. Number two, neglecting your spiritual responsibilities. How's your prayer life? How's your quiet time? How are those things going? And, you know, I've shared before that most often when somebody comes to me and they're having situations and they want some counsel or they want to talk about it, my first question is usually, how are things going in your quiet time? How are things going in your prayer life? And 100% of the time it's been, well, you know, it's not been that good, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to do exactly what Jonah was doing here. We're trying to get away from God's either calling upon our life, or maybe it's the Lord's conviction in our lives about certain things. And then what we begin to do is we begin to neglect our spiritual responsibilities of his word and our spiritual responsibilities of our prayer time, because we just really don't want to hear from God because we already know what he's trying to say to us, you know, or we're trying to just look the other way and hopefully it will go away. So we've seen where he prayed. Jonah prayed out of the belly of a fish. We've seen why he prayed, and it was by reason of his affliction that we see. So what else do we have to look at? You know, we think about his affliction, and some of y'all might be sitting back like a lot of other folks and saying, well, how was he afflicted? You know, what was going on? Well, he really was afflicted. What do we see in verse 2? Out of the belly of hell cried. He says, cried I. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Look at verse 2. Let me share that with you because I want you to get that. Verse 2 actually says this. I cried out. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, which is hell, I cried. So this is essentially where he is. He was cast into the deep. What does verse 3 tell us? Look at verse 3. Remember, we're talking about his affliction, but verse 3 says, "For you," and he's talking to God, "you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me, and all of your billows and your waves passed over me." Okay? So, yeah, he was cast into the deep, verse 3. You know, floods encompassed him. That's verse 3. You know, the billows and the waves passed over me. That's in verse 3. The waters compassed about me, even to the soul. That's down in verse 5. And it actually says in verse 5 that the weeds wrapped around his head. Could you imagine what it must have been like to have been in the belly of a great fish? All the things that great fish had eaten or swallowed, and the seaweed and everything else, even weeds were wrapped around his head. So we see essentially where he was when he was praying. Now, what about when he prayed? Now, I want to carry you down in our text of chapter 2 down to verse 7 that says this. It says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." Now, I want to stop right there for just a minute, simply because, isn't that the way we usually are? Notice once again, it says, "When my soul fainted within me," when I had tried everything I possibly could, when I went the way I wanted to go, when I exhausted every ounce of who I was and my abilities, it was at that point that I turn to the Lord. Folks, God doesn't want us to wait to that particular point to turn to Him. He wants us to continually be turning to Him with what our heart's desire is. He wants us to turn to Him in faithfulness and obedience to Him. And we already know Jonah wasn't in the mood to be faithful at this particular point because he couldn't stand the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to go preach to them. Send me somewhere else. Don't send me to those stinking Ninevites over there, because I don't like them. They don't like me. I don't like them. I don't want to go preach to them. And that was his attitude. That was his heart. And we'll see that a little bit later on as we continue on in our series. But right now we're looking at essentially his prayer. And notice once again in verse 7, it says, "When my soul fainted within me." It wasn't until then. It wasn't before then. "But when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Okay, how important is that? Jonah is now at a place where each and every one of us need to be. Jonah was at the end of himself. Are you at the end of yourself? Are you done? Have you exhausted every ounce of who you are in trying to do something only to find that you're no better off than you were before? Jonah has come to the point where he's at the end of himself. I pray that you have come to the point where you are at the end of yourself also. Because you know what happened? When Jonah got to that point, then it became no more running. Then it became no more spiritual deafness. Much like the prodigal son, I've shared with you all before that is one of my most favorite biblical passages in the Word of God. But the prodigal son, even though what he had done was wrong, even though how things were pointed out to him, he still went out and it says that he wasted all of his possessions on riotous living. He found himself living in a hog pen, and I love the point to point this out, that in the story of the prodigal son, it says that the boy got up one day in the hog pen, and it says, and when he came to himself, you know, when he began to understand and have the reality. In other words, at that particular point, he got to the end of himself so that the beginning of God could take place. Like the prodigal son, this is where Jonah was. This is where you and I need to be. Now, Jonah has a change of heart as we continue to read. And it goes on in our text today, and he says, "I remembered the Lord." I had just conveniently forgotten about him up until just now. No, I remembered him. I remembered his goodness. I remember his leadership. I remember how he takes care of me. I remember all these wonderful things about the Lord. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee, or I will sacrifice to you, God. Now, you've got my attention. You know, I remember you now, and I'm gonna sacrifice. And then he goes on. He says, I will pay that which I have vowed to you. Okay. Now, there's a whole lot that could be said about that along the way, but a lot of biblical scholars would say that you know, the vow is that at this particular point he has decided, I am going to go to Nineveh like you have called me to go. I'm going to go down there and preach to them like you have called me to do. Not necessarily that I want to, but I'm going to, because you have given me a great attention getter in my life. But he also says this. He says, salvation is of the Lord. There is no salvation anywhere else on this planet or above this planet or anywhere else other than in the Lord. It almost seems like Jonah has had not only a change of heart, but he has had a reality break as he sailed around the ocean for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, probably wondering what was going to happen to him. Well, am I going to be digested? Have I just become fish food? Is God going to give me another chance? Is he going to allow me to do what I said no to before? You know, some of you may be exactly in that position as you're praying to the Lord right now. Some of you have been in that situation where God's gotten your attention and you're begging him to be about what he has called you to do before that you said that you would not do. Yeah, I pray that right now is that moment like the prodigal son where you have come to yourself. I pray that it's the moment like we're reading about with Jonah, that all of a sudden he has had a true change of heart, not just simply to save his skin, but that he might truly be obedient to what God has called him to do. Now, the way I want to wrap up today, as we have been talking about Jonah's prayer to the Lord, because now, remember, he hadn't even gotten to Nineveh yet. He hasn't even begun the ministry that God has called him to do to the Ninevites. We'll start to pick that up next week in chapter 3. But what happened was, as Jonah spent that time in the belly of a fish, as he had some moments to review his life and to review the decisions that he had been made, and he's come to that point where he's saying, you know, it's all in the Lord's hands. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And you notice at the very end of chapter 2, I love this verse, it says, So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out onto dry ground. So the Lord has heard Jonah. He understands him. He knows that he is going to be about his business, whether Jonah wants to be about God's business or not. He's going to be. Yeah. Now Jonah finds himself on the beach, on dry ground, delivered from the trouble that he had been praying through over the last 3 days. I can still just kind of picture what that scene must have been like as this fish kind of swam up onto the shore, because it does say on dry ground, and as this fish regurgitates a whole man. Could you imagine being down the beach watching that? You know, somebody out there surf fishing, and all of a sudden they see a fish roll up to the shore, and that, and then here's a man, you know, got seaweed wrapped around his head like he was talking about before. That would be an interesting sight, wouldn't it? I'm sure it would. So now Jonah's on dry ground. He's been delivered from the trouble that he's in. And the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. I love that. You know, God let him continue to ponder what was taking place and to continue to ponder what was going on. And it says, it tells us that the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. Some of you out there have been running from God. You've done exactly what Jonah's done. You found yourself in the belly of the great fish, and you are praying for the time when your feet are on stable ground. You are praying for that time and asking God to give you a second chance in the same fashion that he gave Jonah in this one. So the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah. You know, God's call to his life has been renewed. You know, even I'm trying to think, as big of a reprobate as he was during that time, as opposite in direction as he was going from God's call, God got his attention, he's brought him back, and his call has been once again renewed to Jonah. He's saying, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go down there and preach to the Ninevite people. Now, here's what you need to understand today. You and I both need to understand that it's not too late to be used of God. You know, sometimes he has to give us those moments that are real attention getters in our lives. Sometimes you feel like that you're not going to make it because you're in the belly of the great fish, but God is hearing your prayers. The question you have to ask yourself, and I don't want to say you have to ask yourself, and the reason I'm not going to say you have to ask yourself is because most of us know. Most of us know when we're running from what God has called us to do. It's no secret. Jonah knew that when he was fleeing from God's direction. But in the middle of God getting our attention, here's what you got to understand. You can't outrun him. You can't go too far. You can't hide in a fashion in which God cannot see you and see what's going on. So what you need to do is simply say, Lord, here I am, send me. Some of you understand that. Some of you have called out for that. You are waiting for the second call to come in your life, for you to have the opportunity to be obedient. Now, there's a few things I want to share before we close out today and not try to take anything away from our continued journey through the book of Jonah. But that didn't necessarily change Jonah's heart towards the Ninevites. You know, Jonah still couldn't stand them. Jonah still did not want to go into the city of Nineveh and preach the word of God. Now, some might say, well, the reason why Jonah was praying the prayers that he was in this particular case is because he was trying to save his own skin. Well, you have to weigh that out with the Holy Spirit. I think Jonah, A, was trying to save his own skin because as we learn a little bit later on, as we start to get into chapters 3 and 4, Jonah still didn't like the people of Nineveh. He still didn't want to go. He didn't come out of the belly of that fish going, well, let me, he was saying, let me run on down to Nineveh, but he was not anxious to go down there to preach God's word. He wasn't anxious. And there's something I want to kind of give you a little glimpse at as we go in the future. There's a reason why Jonah didn't want to do that. And it was Jonah's will versus God's will. And when we get to that in the particular scripture, because Jonah had an idea of what God was going to do. And that's part of the reason he didn't want to go. And when we get to that in our future Bible studies, I'll point that out once again to you. But the question is, where are you? Are you in the belly of a fish? Are you on your way to the Nineveh that God has called you to? And what is your attitude as you go forward? Just remember this, if you find yourself today in the belly of the great fish, it's not too late. God hears your prayers, and God does give you time and second chance along the way. Now, I'm not saying that he always does that, because I know there have been some times when God didn't give some second chances along the way. But in the majority of the time, he will, because he is gracious. He is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. But when you go to him with the honesty of your heart and cry out to him, he will hear your prayer, but that doesn't mean that he's going to change the mission that he has for you. So the question is, where do you stand today? In the belly of a fish, on the beaches of the shore with the fish having just spit you out? Are you on your journey to Nineveh, or will you find yourself in the middle of Nineveh being obedient to what God has called you to do? I want to encourage you to be back with us once again next week, as we will take a continued look into the book of Jonah with our series. Next week, we're going to discuss the second time. Remember we said the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So we're going to talk about that out of the book of Jonah chapter 3. So that's what I want you to spend this week doing, is studying Jonah chapter 3, so that you'll be ready for our Bible study time when it comes next week. And the question is, evaluate where you are in regard to your walk with the Lord. Is he calling you to something very important to do? I will go ahead and say it like this. I know that he is calling you to something important. The question question is, what is he calling you to do? And are you being obedient to be about the master's business? Remember, as we started off our Bible study, I asked you that question. I said, has somebody ever asked you to do something that you didn't want to do? I know there were various responses to that. And then I followed up with that question by saying, well, how did you react when you were asked to do something that you didn't want to do? Some people were just flat out, nope, forget it, I'm not going to do it. There were some who did it begrudgingly. Oh, I can't believe they asked me to do this as you were doing it. And then there are some who said, yep, man, not my favorite thing to do, but somebody's got to do it, and I appreciate the fact that, Lord, you're trusting me by which to be able to do that. Where do you find yourself on that particular scale? I want you to evaluate that as the Holy Spirit teaches you through God's Word. And maybe your prayer may be much like Jonah's prayer. But as we continue through our Bible study, I pray that your heart and that your life become changed in even a better way than what Jonah's was. So please join us next Wednesday night as we continue our Bible study in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And once again, as we look at the second time around, you know, a lot of us understand second chances. We're going to look at Jonah's second chance. Before we do, let's have us a word of prayer, and I trust and pray that God's going to use you in a special way this week in somebody else's life to be of encouragement to them or to share that plan of salvation with them. And may we be mindful to look for those opportunities, because God will prepare them, He will present them, and He will put them in our path. We just need to be have our spiritual eyes on enough to be able to see when He does that for us. Now let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we thank you for examples that we read about. Lord, as we continue on in our series on Jonah, you know, tonight we kind of looked at his prayer. We looked at as he cried out to you in the middle of crisis. But Lord, I pray that we don't have to be in the middle of crisis to cry out to you. But Father, we also realize that you have a purpose for each and every one of us. And that, Lord, if we're not about your business, you are going to bring us around to being obedient to what your will is for our life. I pray that we don't have to do that from the belly of a great fish, but Lord, that we would be obedient even when we don't understand all of our marching orders. So help us, Father, to evaluate Jonah's prayer. And then as we continue on this week with a look at Jonah chapter 3, may you help us to compare and contrast our lives and our situations with that of Jonah. But Lord, most of all, may we see you. Man, what a great place in these particular passages is to be able to just see you. So Lord, we just pray right now that you will bless us this week, bless those we will come in contact with, and teach us from your word as we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I hope and pray you do have a great week and that God uses you mightily and as he continues to bless you. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you visit with us here at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68. North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can find us on our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday. We do have some other opportunities of discipleship that are forthcoming. So right now, I just pray that you will enjoy the rest of your week, and may God richly bless you. God bless, and have a great, great week.